Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey! How we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, Brendan behind the glass. It is a Thursday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. So the Astros play baseball today at 3:05, wink, wink, first pitch. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Trey Mancini is going to be in the lineup today. Very, very early lineup by Dusty, even though they're playing at 3:05. He's starting for the...
It's a Trey day?
Trey day. It's a Trey day. They're few and far between, so really relish this moment. Like, you have to totally take pride in the fact that you're going to see Trey Mancini play baseball for the Houston Astros today, because it's usually a 50-50 chance that you see Trey Mancini at all.
We almost need Mancini music, since he's basically a starting pitcher.
Yeah, you're right.
It's right. And it's even more fitting now that Henry Mancini did the Pink Panthers theme, because you need a sleuth to try and figure out why the hell Dusty doesn't play him. Dun 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 dun. It's a Trey day. It's like Arbor Day or President's Day. They only come around so often. You better cherish it while it's here.
They don't come around very often.
What?
They don't come around very often. There it is.
There it is.
Trey Mancini, the mystery, the enigma that is Trey Mancini. Do you think Dusty Baker knows who Trey Mancini is yet? He's back today.
Well,
do you think he's introduced himself?
He's got to beat cancer.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to go that way.
No, because Dusty said the two of us both beat cancer. So that we know he knows about Trey Mancini.
Okay.
Other than that, based on the quotes we'll get from Brian McTaggart and others, when Dusty, who's back today, decided to talk, someone put a bug in his ear and said, oh, by the way, he's only played 13 games in left field when he was with the Orioles. Because he's hanging his hat on that one, because he is reaching right now.
Here's what he said, Dusty talking just a little while ago, because the Astros play at 3:05, wink, wink. Dusty Baker back with the team, so that's good. I mean that sincerely.
Yep.
Like, health before baseball. So it's good to see that Dusty Baker is back, is feeling well. I do mean that genuinely. But whenever you talk about the baseball side of it and the managing side of it, this just continues, I think, our theme. And look, we get a lot of pushback on this because the Astros, tied for the best record in the American League. They're on pace to win over 100 games. What can you possibly gripe about? Well, I think it's the concern that Dusty can continue to do these things in the playoffs. We've seen his loyalty at a fault impact the Astros last year in the postseason, with Alex Bregman struggling and the loyalty to him to not move him down in the batting order. And then all of a sudden, you're not scoring, you're losing in the World Series. Even if that didn't influence why you lost in the World Series, we've seen Dusty's stubbornness and loyalty to a fault impact this team. So, look, I understand it's August 10th and you shouldn't worry about lineups on August 10th. You start to have a bit of a fear factor, though, that you see it on August 10th and then you might see it on October 10th. When you're playing in the ALCS against the Yankees. And look, a manager's job, you're not going to win or lose because of your manager, but a manager's going to put you in the best position to win. And I don't feel like Dusty Baker in 2022 is equipped to do that as a Major League Baseball manager.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that the same way that we just got done talking for a couple of days about, with a big lead in the American League West, that you can afford to experiment, which you should be doing with Chaz McCormick in center field. You should be experimenting with Trey Mancini in left field. It's the same way that, from Dusty's perspective, you can say what you want to say about him doing Dusty things now, but the one thing that you're doing when you're experimenting with the position groups is you're trying to solidify what you're going to do in the playoffs so that you get the best chance to win. You're not doing that with Dusty Baker still Dustying across the board on all these other decisions, because you're not setting yourself up for the best position to win, because God knows how many times in the playoffs Dusty's going to Dusty, and it may cost you.
Here's the other thing, too. Like, okay, if Trey Mancini's not an outfielder, which James Click would disagree. James Click thinks he's a corner outfielder, and James Click, recent comments, still thinks he can be an outfielder as well. You had Joe Espada, the acting manager, say that Mancini's average in the outfield, which was probably Espada being nice towards Mancini. He's probably below average in the outfield, if we're being completely honest with you. But the Astros, at least Dusty Baker, is telling us that Trey Mancini's not an outfielder. He has played zero games in the outfield for the Houston Astros. So, okay, if you're telling me that Trey Mancini's not an outfielder, fine, okay, I'll concede that to you. Trey Mancini's not an outfielder. Okay, great, you can have that one. So now the conversation has to be Trey Mancini or Yuli Gurriel. And Trey Mancini is a better player in 2022 than Yuli Gurriel. So if Trey Mancini's not an outfielder, which you're telling me that he is not, okay, fine. He should be your everyday first baseman because he's better than Yuli Gurriel is at baseball.
According to Dusty, being a gold glove first baseman at first base is a valuable commodity, and that has to be factored in, and that's the way he thinks. And again, it goes back to what we've talked about before, where we said this is a guy that plays the pawpaw's belly. And when Pawpaw's belly has a gut feeling about a guy and has a trust level built up with a guy and has a true soft spot in his heart for a guy, it doesn't matter if he can't hit, you know, out of a wet paper bag. He's going to be there because Pawpaw says.
Mm-hmm.
And Pawpaw's quotes today are showing you that there's a lot of reality in that way of thinking.
Let's get to those quotes. This came from Dusty Baker a little bit ago over in the Astros dugout when he was talking to the media ahead of the Wink Wink 305 start. Dusty was asked about Trey Mancini's usage. If I got Fromber pitching, which Fromber's pitching today, all right, let's instead of hearing it from me, let's hear it from the horse's mouth himself. Here was Dusty Baker on the usage of one Trey Mancini, the deadline acquisition for the Houston Astros.
Well, it depends on who's pitching for us. If I got Fromber pitching, then, you know, I need you. He's Golden Glove. There's only one Golden Glove. You know what I mean? And if I got a fly ball pitcher, you know, he only played 13 games in the outfield in Baltimore before he got here. You know what I mean? And so I got to play my best fly ball guy out there. And he played right field in Baltimore because it's a short porch, so I got to play him more here in left field. But what do I do with Yordan, who wants to play outfield, son, and McCormick and Myers, who I'm trying to get going, you know what I'm saying? And we got, he'll find a way to play.
It's
not up to him to find a way to play.
Yeah, you just named a bunch of ways that he can be playing. If Yordan's in left field, your DH, Trey Mancini, batting for your Houston Astros. If he just mentioned that he can't have Mancini in the outfield because Justin Verlander's a flyball pitcher, your starting first baseman, Trey Mancini. He just mentioned he couldn't use Fromber because he's a ground ball pitcher, so he couldn't use Mancini at first base when Fromber's on the mound. Your left fielder, Trey Mancini. He just illustrated ways he could get Trey Mancini in the lineup, but he refuses to do it. And also, the Golden Glove thing, like, I understand that we love Yuli Gurriel. We love his defense. We love the fact that he was a batting champion a year ago. He's had a lot of heroic moments in this golden age for the Houston Astros. The defensive numbers are worse for Yuli Gurriel than they are Trey Mancini.
For this year?
Yes, at first base.
I mean, the only thing that Yuli's going to hang his hat on is the digs. The fact that he digs better than anybody in the
league.
Yeah,
no one else is capable of picking a ball out of the dirt. No one else. In the history of the world, nobody can pick a ball out of the dirt. Only Yuli Gurriel is able to possess that characteristic.
This is so frustrating. And then we kept, you know, as much as I said yesterday, well, you got to kind of just with a grain of salt because we've already just, as much as we hate it, we have to admit that Dusty's going to Dusty and there's nothing we can do about it. But I kept holding out saying, but I want to hear from Dusty because we want some clarification since we think he was pushing buttons and sending texts from a hotel room and from his house while he had COVID. And Joe Espada was very clear in the fact that it wasn't him making these decisions, it was Dusty.
Yeah, very clear.
And then when I heard from Dusty today and I saw the quotes, I'm like, how can any sane Astros fan be okay with this?
I don't know. That's the thing that's like getting to me too, is like I'm more okay with seeing Yuli Gurriel in the lineup over Trey Mancini, or if you want to even talk about the left field and not seeing Trey Mancini, I'm more okay with the Dusty lineups and the refusal to play Trey Mancini more than I am about the defense of Yuli and the defense of Dusty. Because the only time that you hear defense of Dusty, it's like, well, he's been doing it forever. He's won over 2,000 games. That's great. That doesn't make him a good manager in 2022. And it's the same thing with Yuli Gurriel. Well, he had a big hit in the 2017 playoffs. Well, he was a gold glove back when he was younger. He won a batting title last. Great. Nothing you are telling me has anything to do with the 2022 season.
That's
so
right.
The defense of Yuli and Dusty has zero to do with this year.
And Jeremy, here's the thing. I've had enough of it, and I'm sick of it, with all these orange Kool-Aid drinking Astros fans that want to come at me and say, you just can't appreciate the fact that this team is winning. And because this team's in first place, and you're just looking for something to bitch about. No, you know what? Maybe I care more than you about winning a World Series in 2022. Maybe I care more about the fact that I don't give a rat's ass that they're going to win the West, because they're always supposed to win the West. Maybe I care about having the best record in the American League, and I care about winning in the playoffs because I care about the fact that if this team wins another one, a whole segment of the population nationally that have been critical of this team can shut the hell up. And you can finally get people to appreciate what a run this team has been on for 5+ years. But you can't do that if you don't win it. Getting there's not good enough, and we've seen it against the Nationals. We've seen it against the Braves. And the team's too damn good not to have the best chance to win and not to have a guy pushing the buttons that can see clear to put the best lineup out there so you have a best chance to win every single damn day in the playoffs. That's what it's about. It's not about right now. It's not about before the regular season ends. It's about getting your head out of your keister and figuring out how to win ball games in the playoffs when the most important thing is winning a damn title. That's it.
I don't know how to follow that up.
You don't have to.
How do I segue out of that? I don't know. I'm not capable of doing that. Like, Dusty's not capable of putting Trey Mancini in the lineup. You want another Dusty Baker quote from today? That's just, look, this probably doesn't have the significance of Trey Mancini, but it's just like, this is your manager. Baker today said that he plays Mauricio Dubon in center field, who has less range than Jake Myers, who has less range than Chaz McCormick, who,
by the way, threw a guy out last night at the plate and showed he's got an arm, too.
Oh, boy, that was a little offline, huh? So Dubon, by the way, since Jake Myers came back on June 24th.
I'm talking about the fact that Chaz hosed a guy after Dubon was way out there.
Oh, you're talking about Chaz. I thought you were making fun of Dubon's throw, which both are accurate. Both are pertinent in this situation.
Well, Dubon's arm's not accurate.
And apparently it's strong, though, because anyways, Dubon has started 7 games in center field since Jake Myers has come back. Chaz McCormick has started 1 game in center field, and I know that both of them aren't very good, but why is it the ratio so different? Why is Dubon starting 7 games in center and Chaz McCormick starting 1 game in center field? There's something fishy going on there.
Well, Chandler Rome was the guy that said Dusty doesn't like
Chaz
McCormick.
He said it on Twitter.
I give him credit for saying it.
Said it on
because
Twitter.
A lot of guys know that Dusty's going to give him the stink eye and want to come talk to him after that and all that. But if that's the reality, at least it makes some sense. Because otherwise, you're scratching your temple every day going, why the hell aren't you trying him out there?
Why else would Dubon have 7 starts in center since Myers' return and Chaz has 1? Chandler Rome says that Dusty doesn't like Chaz. 713-780-ESPN. I'm going to tell you that what Baker had to say about Dubon and why he's in center when Verlander pitches when we return. 713-780-3776. Are you at your wit's end when it comes to trying to figure out what Dusty Baker is doing with a team that's tied for the best record in the American League? 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's the Killer East on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Sports talk in Houston is terrible, except for ESPN 97.5. Never listen to any other station. ESPN 97.5 is not terrible. And that's why I love these guys. Knuckleheads.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
You want some hard truths? Trey Mancini for the Astros, the mystery man, Trey Mancini. The Astros have played 8 games since Trey Mancini has been with the team, has been on the roster, since they made the trades official. Remember, he had a pinch hit August 2nd after the deadline. So 8 games yesterday. Today will be their 9th. Wink, wink, first pitch 3:05 today for their 9th game, which Trey is in the lineup filling in because he's a bench guy for day off. Yordan Alvarez, he finally, you know, gets off the schneid, hits a dinger yesterday, and he gets the day off today. He's been playing a lot, though, so yeah, he's hot. He had been hot, but he hit the home run yesterday, broke the schneid.
That was a rocket, too.
Oh, my goodness. 300 miles per hour off the bat, I'm pretty sure. Anyways, so the eight games since Trey Mancini has been on this team. Trey Mancini has started 4 of those 8 games, Blinkers. Half of them. 4 of those 8.
I think that's 50%.
Good math.
Thank you.
That's that Wisconsin math for you.
Damn right.
Yordan and Bregman have played in all eight, have started all eight. Let me be clear. Starting up late. They have started all eight. So that's probably why Yordan's getting a day off today. Altuve and Pena, they've started seven games each. I don't have any objection of Yordan, Bregman, Altuve, Pena starting more games than Trey Mancini. Here's where it starts to get a little bit interesting. Six starts for Yuli and six starts for Aledmys Diaz, while Mancini has four. Does that rub you the wrong way, the fact that Yuli and Diaz both have two starts more than Mancini does?
I mean, in the case of Yuli, yeah. I mean, look, for all the Yuli truthers that were going off, blowing hard, and wanting everybody to hear the horn that they were blowing about the fact that in the tool he's been resurrected. Well, unfortunately, that resurrection turned into an infection, and he's not nearly what he was doing early on by doing that high in the lineup. He doesn't belong there. And I understand for everybody that wants to see Diaz in the lineup every day because he's red hot, which means Dusty's going to Dusty and sit him down. But other than that, I get it. And there's no argument really to take him out of the lineup when he's hitting the way he is. But Trey Mancini has done nothing to, like, lose your trust, or in the case of Dusty, try and earn your trust, when every time you put him out there, including ice cold last night off the bench when he gets a hit for you, the fact that he is doing everything, and he's been, maybe to his detriment, a good soldier by saying, I'm just here to help the team win no matter how and when they need me. If he started saying, I think I should be out there, and Jake Odorizing it, that he would have an argument to be able to do that, because he is putting the numbers where his mouth is, and it should tell everybody, starting with the manager, this dude's a real major league hitter that needs to be in the lineup somewhere every damn day.
Whereas Yuli's not. Yuli is not. So I take huge objection to Yuli having six starts, Mancini having four. But even if you want to be, Yuli, he has the history. He's done it. He had a hot 30 days. Real cute. Here's where it gets a little bit more frustrating. Chaz McCormick has five starts in those eight games. One more start than Trey Mancini. And look, I like Chaz against lefties, but he's probably a fourth outfielder. He's not the major league hitter that Trey Mancini is, but the Astros are telling you that Mancini's not an outfielder. But Chaz has one more start than Trey Mancini. Mauricio Dubon has the same amount of starts since Trey Mancini. So Dubon has equal the starts at Mancini. Chaz has more, Myers has more, Diaz has two more, and Yuli has two more. Trey Mancini's probably one of the top five offensive players on this team, but he can't get more starts than Jake Myers, Chaz McCormick, Aledmys Diaz, Yuli Gurriel, and Mauricio Dubon.
I know that Dusty obviously loves his doobie, and he's going to go to his doobie. But why doesn't he and Doobie go get Italian food or some nice meal and a bottle of Dusty's wine and commiserate and share their loyalty and love some way other than putting him in your damn lineup all the time? The guy is not a solid major league hitter. For all the times that you obviously as manager believe that he's a center fielder, he obviously can't throw very well. Yeah, he's speedy, and he's played the position more than Trey Mancini's played left field. But overall, it's another hollow hole in the lineup most times when he's in there anyway offensively. And we talked about it. If you're going to experiment and you've got such a big lead in the division, whether you're worried about catching the Yankees or not, there's just too many opportunities that Mancini should be in there. And if you're the one that's now finally on board with how many games he's played in left field when he was with the Orioles, change the narrative.
Yeah.
Change the narrative. Get him some experience. Like you said, if he played at a short porch in right field in Baltimore, play him in the short porch in left field in Minute Maid, because we know Michael Brantley looks like he ain't coming back anytime soon. And there is going to be another way you can get him in the lineup. But you should be looking for ways to get him in, not looking for excuses why you left him out.
And here's the, like, even if you want to say he's not an outfielder, which, look, Battery Chuck on the Twitch says Chandler Rome, the guy you love, Jeremy, which is not accurate. I don't love Chandler Rome. Says Mancini's a bad outfielder. If that's the case, he's only playing him at first base or DH ever. Look, Mancini's not a good outfielder. Let's be very, very clear. He's not a good outfielder. But even if you want to eliminate his position eligibility of starting a game in the outfield, left or right field, okay, do that. Well, let's concede that point. If that is the case, the conversation should be, who is my everyday first baseman, Trey Mancini or Yuli Gurriel? And Yuli Gurriel is not the player of Trey Mancini in 2022. And Dusty wants to cite last year's Gold Glove, which has zero merit and pertinent information to 2022, and the numbers would tell you that Trey Mancini is a better defender than Yuli Gurriel. And even if he's not, what are you sacrificing defensively in terms of runs saved and all of that, versus what you're adding offensively to the runs gained? Even if you believe that Yuli is slightly better, or even a significant gap better defensively than Mancini is at first base. He is not equaling that with what he does offensively compared to Trey Mancini.
If it's close to a push defensively, but the advantage is that great offensively, and especially currently, as the numbers tell you, it should not be that hard of a decision. And it doesn't have to be your everyday decision. And if you want to move Mancini around just so you keep the bat in the lineup, you can do that too. Try being a little creative. I know it's different, but it can work for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you also, like I said, have that big lead to where you can experiment. But you know what? I don't think you're going to suffer by experimentation here, because I don't think he's going to kill you defensively. But damn well know he's going to help you offensively. And if you can put Diaz and Mancini in the lineup, it ain't going to hurt you offensively. And I believe, for all of you Yuli truthers, the other thing that you might not have noticed because it was subtle last night again, but don't think for an instant the Rangers didn't pitch around Jose Altuve last night and load the bases because they knew Yuli was coming up, and they knew that Yuli was going to be a way easier out than what Altuve could have done damage-wise to them.
That's driving me crazy, too.
Woo!
That is like Yuli in the two spot being like there was his catalyst to him heating up. No. Like that 30-game stretch where Yuli was hitting pretty well offensively, batting average, he wasn't slugging worth a darn. He hit the ball as far as he could yesterday. He was caught ahead of the Crawford boxes by 15 feet. Dude can't drive the ball anymore. He has zero slugging ability at this stage of his career. Even whenever he was hot for like 3 weeks before he was in the two spot that last week, and his numbers are diminished now. I actually looked it up today. Yuli Gurriel in the two spots, like a 260 hitter with zero slugging. And that is one, and he's like a 290 on base guy. So you have a dude that gets on base less than 30% of the time. He's not only one of your worst offensive regulars in 2022, but he's one of the worst offensive regulars in all of baseball in 2022. He's one of the worst offensive players, yet you're batting him in one of the most important spots in the batting order that literally exists.
It's enough to drive you to drink. It's enough to drive you, like, completely off the road. Because when you just consider all the options that you have, and the same way I said about Lance McCullers, I would love to have Michael Brantley back, but I'm not expecting Michael Brantley to walk through that door anytime soon. And as you eloquently put on Twitter, when you go for a second opinion, that means the first opinion wasn't one you liked, and it probably was bad news. So you know you could have a massive hole to fill in left field. If he gets his feet wet now in left field, if he understands how to play the position between now and the end of the regular season, and you have plenty of time to do that, but he keeps hitting the entire time, guess what? You found that insurance policy, which is exactly why we preached this was the move to make for so many reasons for Trey Mancini to be an Astro. Not just first base and DH, because we knew what you guys didn't even think about yet, and that was there was a possible chance Brantley wouldn't come back. And we said that would be the most logical way to try and replace Michael Brantley with a good stick. Michael Brantley and Mario on Twitch is right on the same page. Michael Brantley has never been an all-world defender. He doesn't have an above-average arm. He doesn't have speed. He's not going to dive for you a whole lot and try to do the heroic plays or the defensive-minded plays that keep runs off the board. He's a stick. So it's not going to take a whole lot to replace him defensively. Just don't trip over your own shoestrings trying to make plays, and you'll be fine. If you can throw Yordan out there, you can throw Mancini out there.
Yeah, and look, and even if you don't, he's ahead of Yuli is the point. King of Twitches can't isolate Yuli's performance and let Pena and Yordan off the hook. Yordan's one of the best players in baseball. So Yordan's going to get a long leash. And Yordan's also been smashing the ball right at dudes. Now, he is getting a little bit aggressive out of the zone. He started to chase a little bit more, which kind of tells you that he's kind of reeling a little bit and feeling it a little bit. Jeremy Pena is struggling offensively, but he gives you a really good glove at shortstop, where Yuli Gurriel doesn't in 2022. But even if you want to argue that he does because you're living in the past, first base is not as important defensively as shortstop. Secondly, you didn't trade for an offensive upgrade at shortstop like you traded for an offensive upgrade at first base. So the scrutiny for Yuli versus Pena, not the same. And the scrutiny for Yuli and Yordan should not exist. 713-780-ESPN. Are you done with Dusty's ways? Also, a lot of people on the text line, we'll get to these here in just a little bit, are asking us, is there any way Dusty Baker is not the manager in 2023? We'll ask you the question, too. 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. He's a Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's the Killer Beast on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. All teams covered. No talking points necessary.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Dusty be the manager of the Astros in 2023. 713-780-ESPN. Robert Valdez on the mound today for the Astros. First pitch, 305. Wink, wink. 713-780-3776. I'll ask you in a second about Dusty, but we never got to that that little soundbite that Dusty had, or quote that Dusty had about Mauricio Dubon, because I'm very curious. Like, the Trey Mancini's the lead here. It's obviously the lead story when you talk about the Houston Astros. It is the talking point about this team right now. One of the best bats on this team, the trade deadline acquisition for this team. Can't crack the field more than half the games, at least in starts. Also, like, the secondary fishy thing to me, Dubon, 7 starts in center field versus Chaz, 1 start in center field since Jake Meyers returned on June 24th. That is very fishy to me. That I'm very skeptical of that. But Baker was asked about Mauricio Dubon in center field, especially when Verlander's on the mound. Baker's response to this, his answer was, to stop them going first to third because it's going to be a low-scoring, close game with JV pitching.
Now, if he's stopping them going first to third, does that involve his arm? His Should. Legs?
Yes.
Or his glove?
All of the above.
Uh-huh. And we all saw the throw he made last night, right?
Yeah, to the plate.
Uh-huh. Well, it was supposed to be to the plate. I don't think it was anywhere in the area code, but it was supposed to be to the plate. So how much stock do we put in believing what Dusty said and going, yeah, that's something that I just got to accept because Dusty's right? Because I don't. Because, like, that to me is straight horse bleep. Like, you can't tell me that that guy with that arm is keeping anybody going first to third.
Yeah.
Yes, I will give you the wheels part. I believe that he's quick.
I think he's a better arm than Jake, too, like, if we're being completely fair.
Well, and right now, Jake might not even be entirely healthy, right? But, yeah, sure, for any, just as they are right now today, you're probably right. But we all know Chaz has a gun because he threw out a guy last night, and he proved even more so than I believed he could that he's got a really good arm when he has to throw. That's just another reason why he could stop guys from going first to third, because he's got the same kind of speed as Dubon, and he's got one of those big-ass gloves that can bring everything in, too, when he's running. So give him a shot.
That's what I think. I mean, the fact that just that the rationale there, and Granato, I saw this on Twitter, said the reason it's a low-scoring game is because Mauricio Dubon's getting at-bats because he's playing center field.
Very good point.
Look, I like Dubon as, like, the 26th guy. I like him as the emergency dude off the bench in case somebody gets hurt. I don't like the fact that he's starting 7 games in center field since Jake has been back over Chaz McCormick. It makes absolutely no sense to me. 713-780-ESPN. Dusty is the manager in 2023. Do you want to see it or not? How do you feel about that one, Blinkers?
You and I have talked about it in the past, and I feel more adamant, obviously, than I did even back then. Dusty's time, it's been a good run. He did everything and more that was asked of him when Jim Crane hired him. And Jim Crane hired him. And to get through the scandal and the aftermath and the bubble and the COVID stuff and all of the hatred, he did his job. And you know what? Dare I say he did it better than I think anybody else could have done it for that period of time, with all of the scrutiny they were facing from every time they turned to a different angle. But it's run its course. And I think that the other thing that factors in here is the course is going to run away from you if you aren't careful, because besides him running his course, Joe Espada's getting a job next year, okay? What he's doing right now is just another way of people saying he can do this. He's not overmatched. It's not over his head or too big for him. He can do this. From the interviews to the in-games to everything else to the respect of the players, Joe Espada's getting a job next year. He almost got a job last year.
Yeah.
And whether we talked about it at the time and said there had to have been a discussion that said you are manager in waiting when Dusty is done or not, all the writing should be on the wall that if it's between Joe and Dusty, you go Joe, and Joe's leaving it after this season because someone's going to hire him if you don't. So you hire Joe, and you get the guy that can figure out all the analytics with James Click and get along, but understands baseball well enough and lineups and who should play and who shouldn't and who gets days off when and all the things that mesh analytics with true baseball guy and takes you into the future. Joe Espada's your guy, and so it's got to happen after this season.
Yeah, I wanted it to happen after last year, even though the Astros got to the World Series, but Dusty did not want to go away. Dusty was making it very clear. He was being loud late in the season that he wanted to be back. And the fact that he got to the World Series, like I think he had the Astros over a barrel. Like, the Astros didn't really have much of a choice when it came to that. Dusty wanted to be back. it's hard to move on from
and
Dusty in that situation.
You're horrible publicly if you didn't.
Yeah, so I don't think the Astros had much of a choice to bring him back, but I'm hoping they find a way to move on after this season. 9647, Dusty, gotta go. 9491, get rid of Pawpaw Dusty.
I think it gets pretty easy after this season. If he doesn't win a World Series, even if they go again, you say, couldn't get over the hump.
Yep.
What if he wins it and he wants to be back?
You know what? If he wins it, then you just deal with it.
You know, no. If he wins it, you become Romeo Crennel. You can fade into the sunset, or you can become vice president of baseball operations and assistant to the owner.
But if he puts up a fight, you can't really do that.
I think you still can.
Here's the thing. If you win the World Series and you push him out, everybody's going to be so thrilled that you won a World Series, they're not going to care that you pushed him out.
See, I would say just if he wins a World Series, who cares?
Yeah.
Let him keep the job. If he wins the World Series, you let him keep the job.
No way.
Nope.
No way.
Nope.
I'm tired of it.
No, there ain't any consolation prizes for winning.
Man, that's a hard question.
You can fade into the sunset with a World Series in your back pocket and the fact that you got the final check off your checklist and you're probably going to the Hall of Fame, or you can have a job within the organization, but it's time.
It's time. You got to move on, Dusty.
Not forcing him out if he wins the World Series.
I am.
It's the same
goodbye.
Way the Packers forced out Aaron Rodgers and the Niners forced.
You mean Favre?
Forced out Favre for Aaron Rodgers, or the Niners at a certain point said Steve Young's our guy, no matter how much they loved Montana, and he went to play in Kansas City.
Chicago did that with Jordan.
It's a tough business decision to make, but it's a business decision that has to be made for the long-term success of this team.
9647, does Dusty still make the lineup when he's out on COVID? Joe Espada made it very clear he did not want to put his signature on that lineup. Yeah. James Click and Joe Espada both made it very, very clear that it was still Dusty Baker's lineup. I love the fact that Espada didn't want to co-sign Dusty's lineup.
Good for him.
When Dusty was out with COVID. That was fascinating. 713-780-ESPN, our HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. 9723, Dusty loves Julie like a toxic relationship. Your friends tell you not to get back together, and you go back to him over and over, even after he disappoints you. That's a great comparison. I like that analogy.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's not just about Julie. He loves Dubon. He loves his quote-unquote guys. Evidently, there's some truth to the fact that he's not so fond of Chaz McCormick for some ungodly reason. So I don't understand how he does it, but we know that gut feelings and buddies are the way he plays his lineup every single day, and that circle of trust is all – it's a real thing. He's even said it. If you're not in his circle of trust, and these guys have been here all year doing what they did to get you here, that no matter how good you are, you've got to prove to me that you're going to be good here and you can earn my trust. Get the hell out of here. You're Trey Mancini and you're hitting the cover off of it. Play his ass.
713-780-ESPN. Are we going overboard on the best team in the American League? 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Will, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Will?
Hey, good afternoon. Long-time listener, big fan of the show, y'all. Yeah, several comments. I believe that the manager in waiting is already on the staff and Joe Espada. I believe depending on the outcome of this season, whether we win the World Series, that decision, I think, will be a little bit tougher for Click in the organization. But Joe Espada, he's interviewed externally for other managerial positions, and maybe it was just kind of a handshake, wink agreement saying, once Dusty hangs him up, you're our guy. What are your thoughts on that? And then another, I think, important in-house decision to be made is JV's probably going to opt out of that second year. So it's kind of like having a player option. And what do you do there, pending he wins the Cy Young in the AL? And I want y'all's thoughts on that, and I'll hang up and listen. Keep up the great work.
Appreciate the call, Will. Thanks for being a listener. JV, I think if we put it in like a two-word phrase, want to keep talking about Dusty a little bit, I say you try every way to keep him here.
Yeah, no, look. I said it at the time when he was interviewing with other teams, when all of a sudden it was kind of abrupt.
You're talking about Espada.
Yes, from the Espada standpoint, and you covered the JV side of it. I'll touch on the Espada part of it because I've been very adamant about this too. It seemed to me at the time that there was a handshake agreement and a discussion that was had, like I said, in this segment earlier.
Well, he was interviewing for other jobs.
I'm saying, after he interviewed for other jobs, at some point in the process, there was a conversation between the Astros and him that said, we don't want to lose you. If you can just be patient, the job's yours, and it'll be your manager in waiting when Dusty's done. But we like the combination for at least one more year of you being the bench coach, Dusty being there. But believe me, we love you, and you are going to be our guy. And I believe that conversation has already happened, and that's the reason why he kind of pulled out of and didn't really pursue those other jobs. I believe that's just another reason why the time is now, that whether they put a timetable on it or not, I believe it's next season that Joe Espada starts as the manager of the Houston Astros.
I really do, too. I think Espada is going to be the manager for the Astros in 2023. 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Austin, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Austin?
Hey, guys. Big fan, like always. Love y'all's work. Keep it up. So I have a very non-controversial opinion. I think this year, for sure, like, it's over. Dusty is not going to be the manager next year, and I think it's either one or two things. Either we win the World Series, Dusty goes out, you know, retires on a World Series win, which is what I hope. At the end of the day, as much as I dislike Dusty's lineups and just his logic and everything, especially when you sit down someone who's hitting as hot as Diaz has been hitting, or, you know, starting a guy that, you know, you got Mancini, and he's, what, maybe been around 50% of the games, and he's not injured or anything? Like, we traded for the guy. Come on. But I think the thing is that no matter what, either Dusty's not going to be the manager next year, just like y'all said. I think it's definitely, hopefully, I hope a spot as well. But it just depends. Is it because Dusty goes out on World Series win, or is it because they fire him over just the amount of just type of logic and decisions that he's made over this entire season?
Thanks.
I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks for the call, Austin. Appreciate it. Look, I think that the one step further to what Austin said is, it's when Dusty's in the playoffs and it costs him. If they don't win the World Series, and they don't win the World Series, and in part it's because Dusty'd and it cost him, whether putting the wrong guy in the lineup or a guy he played somewhere makes a huge gaffe. But I think that, yeah, I would tend to agree with Austin. I don't and you and I are on the same page. Either way, I don't think he's the manager of the team next year. But it's one of two ways. You can fade into the sunset and maybe even keep a job in the organization so you get a check for another year, because obviously Crane is fond of you. But you get that last check mark on your checklist to get to the Hall of Fame, and you turn the reins over. Or Dusty'd in the playoffs, which, God forbid, because that would set the city just ablaze with negativity, and you don't win a world championship because of it, then you're definitely moving on.
Yeah, to me, I'm moving on regardless. You win it, you pat Dusty Baker on the back, you tell him if you want to be in this organization, we have a job for you in
the
front
Romeo
office, special advisor, it's the Romeo Crennel. If he doesn't win it, like Brendan said, you kind of got your excuse to fire him, right? Well, you didn't get it done. We need somebody that can get it done for us. 713-780-ESPN. Do you let him come back if he wins it all, though? Do you let him come back if he wins it all?
Nope.
We asked that to you. 713-780-3776. Also, a few more Dusty quotes today. From before the game that we got to get to. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you again about my good friend Doc Linville. Look, he has answers when you have questions. Are you losing your hair? Do you feel like you got to shave it off? Do you think that there's nobody that can do anything? Well, guess what? There's somebody that can. Doc Linville's the best in the business at the Neograft procedure. And that Neograft procedure is the exact thing you need if you are thinning, balding, and don't believe that your hair is coming back anytime soon. Because instead of sprays and foams and creams and things that mask the problem, it's actually solving the problem. It's taking hair from where you have a ton of it, and genetically you're always going to have it in the sides and the back, and moving it where you need it most, either that baboon's butt on the top in the back, or getting your original hairline back and turning that 8-head back into a 4-head up in front. He can take care of it. It's just moving follicles, and guess what? He has all the answers for you, too, when you have your questions, but I want you to find out for yourself, because as an ESPN listener, you get a free consultation with Doc Linville's office that normally costs $150. Just go to 975hair.com, schedule that appointment. It's free. Then ask all the questions that you want answered before you make a decision on whether it could be right for you, too. From the amount of time it takes for the procedure, to the full results to be seen, which is 6 to 9 months, to the 95%+ success rate of every follicle moved. That means every follicle moved will grow and get thicker and stronger, and you will see the results of. And that's why I made the decision to do the process. I couldn't be happier. You'll love it, too. Check them out today. Doc Linville and 975hair.com.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
If you win the World Series, you're the Astros. Dusty Baker wants to be back. You bring him back. 713-780-ESPN, our HRP listener line. 713-780-3776. 7109 says, please stop with the 3:30 wink wink game time joke, please.
Why? The Loyals understand it completely.
You know, I think I'm going to take that advice. I'm going to heed that advice from 7109. The game begins at 3:05 for the Astros. Wink, wink. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Eric, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, guys. It was a bear thing last night. I was in my Stroh's gear drinking a beer.
Should have been Jared Ben.
With all these Rangers and Dyer fans there. But Dusty, I think it was more of a PR move after the Astros scandal. You have somebody that's respected in the game. And like the previous caller, I hope he goes out with the win, World Series win. But I don't think anybody after 70 years old should be managing a team, running for president, or being president, or driving. That's my statement.
Eric went the full gauntlet there. He's going to turn us off and listen to a little bit of Fox News, I think. But look, I agree with his point about the Dusty Baker thing. I think that they did hire him to manage the sign-stealing scandal, to be somebody who was very respected in the game. And I think he did a good job of that. I think he's been admirable at that. We talk about his best attribute all the time. It's managing the team. It's managing people. It's having the loyalty for Alex Bregman. He's not going to take him out of the lineup. He's not going to move him down in the batting order. He's going to let him hit out of a slump. Yuli Gurriel, same thing. He's not going to take him out of the lineup. He's not going to move him down in the batting order. In fact, he's going to move him into the two spot in the batting order. So, like, there are certain characteristics that Dusty does do well, and I have the utmost respect for Dusty Baker. You win 2,000 games, you're a Hall of Fame career. I respect the heck out of Dusty Baker. He's just not one of the best 30 guys in the world to manage a baseball team in 2022.
That's something that I wanted to clarify as well. I like Dusty Baker as a person. I respect Dusty Baker's career as a player and as a manager. Dusty Baker as the manager of the Oakland A's or a middle-of-the-road team or a team that's, you know, doing some things, but, you know, whatever, they're not in a win-it or bust kind of mode with the type of roster and talent that they have here in Houston, that's fine. But it's one thing to say that Dusty should be able to do whatever he wants to do because this team's in first place by a large margin. But it's naive to say that because you're not giving enough credit to the players that you hear the arguments all the time. Manager's only good for one or two wins a year or at most or best that could cost you a game here and there. Well, Dusty's shown you he's flirted with costing you a ton of games this year. Your team's just so good that they've gotten away with it. But when you look at it and say, if Dusty's managing a team in Kansas City, Dusty can do whatever the hell he wants. He can rest guys whenever he wants. He can keep guys in the lineup, and if they come out of the lineup, just put anybody in the two spot and do other things. That's fine, and it wouldn't be a big deal. This team is too good for it not to be a big deal to have him consistently do the things he's done since he's been here and not have it leave a mark with us that we have to call out and talk about. I like him as a person. I respect the hell out of his career, both playing and managing, but I have to sit there and tell you how I feel from what I see, from how frustrating it is for him to do this to a team this good.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. Let's go back out there. Andrew, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, I would rather keep Joe Espada, get rid of Dusty, win or not win after the season. You know, I think I've heard you say that you like Joe Espada. You know, I tend to agree with you on most of your takes, but yeah, after these lineups, there's just too much, man. And I don't want him to cost us a World Series again. I feel like he did it last year. You know, that's just my opinion.
Appreciate the call, Andrew. Yeah, I think we're pro Espada. I want Joe Espada as the manager of the Astros in 2023.
You guys are psychopaths.
Psychopaths that we want Joe Espada.
Wow. No.
Psychopaths
that
we criticize Dusty Baker.
I'm on
psychopaths
board.
Psychopaths because we don't believe in your theories and fruit and dessert?
I am on
psychopaths
board.
Psychopaths because you're not being our puppeteer right now.
That's the reason. Yeah. I'm on board with everything you guys say. Up to the point of even if he wins a World Series, you move on.
I'm on. I'm done. Like, celebrate him in the parade.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to argue he is going to win you the World Series. It would be in spite of him. But all of us agree that at the end of the day, A manager in baseball only has so much impact. If this team is capable of overcoming that minuscule impact, if he's going to fight and claw to keep that job, oh, well, man. Oh, well. The team's going to compete again next year no matter who's managing.
It's one thing if because your division is just rat's ass terrible and you're so damn good. But if what happens if you win the World Series, but dusted, and there were a couple games that were hanging in the balance because of it. But again, your team was so good, you found a way to win. It's just, if it happened every so often, you could be like, you know what? Yeah, we noticed it, but guess what? They keep winning. But when it keeps happening over and over again over time and leaves marks in your mind, you can't forget about it.
I'm not even arguing pro Dusty Baker. I'm just arguing pro don't fire managers after they win World Series.
No, you kiss them goodbye. You kiss them goodbye the way you can win two more World
Series. Just like you don't fire a coach if he wins Coach of the Year?
That's a little bit different.
I think so. I do think it is different. I mean, see
similar.
That.
Shut your mouth, Brandon.
I do. I think so.
You guys are on the same side on a rare occurrence against me. You're supposed to stay there.
Yeah.
Jamie.
Well, I mean, think about it. Like, Coach of the Year is voted on by the media. Like, winning the World Series is like what you're trying to. So I think that it is quite a bit of a difference, but it's not going to move me from the fact that I would still move on. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line, 713-780-ESPN. Big E, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Big E? You got the power of positivity?
I just wanted to call and say I totally agree. It's time. It's passed him by. I believe he cost us two World Series. There was no reason we should have lost to Washington or Atlanta.
Biggie, Dusty Baker was out of baseball in 2019. He wasn't managing anybody. AJ Hinch was managing that team.
Sorry.
Yeah, his first year was 2020.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. I get things wrong every other minute, so we're good. Appreciate the call, Big E. Thanks for listening to
the Killer Bees. And believe me, look, there's a lot of people. And you know what? I'm not even trying to put the World Series loss on him from a year ago.
Me either.
Of the fact that you lost Lance McCullers. You weren't pointing a finger at Dusty Baker over that. But when these continuous, just head-scratching, puzzling lineups come out, the refusal to play guys with the clueless quotes about not even knowing anything about them.
Shane McClanahan has no idea who Shane McClanahan is, one of the best pitchers in all of baseball.
And again, it's a travesty that thankfully both Trey Mancini and Dusty beat cancer. But if that's the only thing you know about Trey Mancini and your team just traded for him and you've made comments about how much time you've spent on the phone because you've been with James Click trying to make moves, then you at some point, I don't think James Click just says, here's a number, call this guy, tell me why he should want to be an Astro without telling him, hey, this guy's been the leader of the Orioles forever and a day. This guy's a hell of a character guy. This guy can play multiple positions. Miss me with all that, Dusty, because I'm telling you, I know that conversations were had before and after you made these phone calls. You should have remembered and know enough about every guy you traded for.
Chandler Rome, during that media scrum, he tweeted this out. Astros game on Sunday in Cleveland aired on Peacock, as we know. Mm-hmm. Dusty Baker couldn't find a way to watch it in quarantine, so he opted for a Bob Marley doc on Netflix instead. That was a good afternoon, Baker said. I followed the game on my phone. A couple of other things from what Dusty Baker had to say today. This from Adam Spillane from the Highway to Hell. Dusty Baker says he does not make lineup decisions based on straight OPS. That's fan stuff. And he also, another one from Dust for Chandler Rome. Dusty Baker said he wanted Jake Myers to stay in AAA for longer after his minor league rehab assignment ended to get more at-bats. Quote, he's one of our best center fielders, but he'll never get it if I don't play him sometime, Baker said. This is Moneyball, man. Dusty Baker and James Click do not see eye to eye. And in honor of that, because they don't see eye to eye, I'm watching Moneyball this weekend.
Is that right?
Yeah, good I'm watching Moneyball
I like
this weekend.
That movie. It was a very good movie. Art Howe doesn't think so.
The line of card is mine. And that's all.
The line of card is mine. That's all. That was that was Philip Seymour Hoffman,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Portraying Art Howe in Moneyball. Of course, Brad Pitt. Portraying Billy Bean. That's who would play me in a movie, by the way.
Brad Pitt?
Yep.
Oh, no question.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. The similarities are uncanny. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776.
Sure you weren't thinking of Jonah Hill?
For you?
No.
Gary, you're in the high with the Killer Bees. What's up, Gary?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm calling in to defend Dusty a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, listening to you guys, you know, I checked Google, and I think we're like a half a game out of the best record in the American League. We're leading our division. We're definitely going to win. And I'm not saying that he's perfect, you know, doing all of the right moves. But you guys know there's more into leadership and coaching than the X's and O's, right? Maybe he inspires this team. You know what I mean? And just at the end of the day, the results matter. And
boom.
Going to ALCS his first year, World Series last year was, frankly, I didn't think our team, you know, was all of that great last year. And leading the division by however many games, and if we make it to the World Series this year, I agree with you that he does some questionable stuff, but I don't think you guys are taking into account how the team responds to him. It's more than X's and O's from a leadership perspective. So
Gary, quick question. And look, I think those are all very good counterpoints. I really do. And whenever you call, always respect the opinion. If you were managing the Astros, do you have fewer wins than Dusty Baker has this year?
Yes, I would.
I think you would be right there. I think you would have 71 wins. I think you would. Like, I understand the management stuff. This team has tons of leaders. They have Justin Verlander. They have Jose Altuve. They have veterans up and down that locker room. Like, I get the value of a manager like Dusty Baker being able to control a clubhouse because he does have those skills. I completely agree. This is a team that doesn't need that, though.
No, and this is what I was saying when I said that the team can overcome whatever Dusty has done when Dusty's going to Dusty. But, Gary, the counterpoint that I would make to everything that you said is that we're not talking about winning the division or trying to be a playoff team. We're talking about the fact that we're talking about these things now, and it's not that big of a deal except for a sports radio discussion because of the fact that they have such a big lead in the division. We've already said they're not playing for the division anymore. They're playing to win the American League, and they're playing to be the best team in the American League because they're playing to win a World Series. And the last thing you want to do is be accepting of this behavior now and how much we've seen of Dusty doing these things, and then let him do it in the playoffs. And then let him start Mauricio Dubon in some backward-ass outfield setup and keep playing Yulian, doing all these different things, and then have you fall a run or two short in a game or a series, and then there's no turning back and trying to say, oh, but we're good because we're a winning team.
Dusty Baker, in what world do you want him as the manager in 2023? Also, I think the Astros and the Rangers are going to brawl today. 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.